We offer a warm welcome to each of you from Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Do you know the difference between a congregation that is built on membership alone and another congregation that is built on discipleship? We're going to discuss that in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that there is a portion in God's Word which serves us today that tells us how you built an organization that would carry the gospel of Jesus Christ to the far parts of the world, and that that organization would continue until you come again. Forgive us, Lord, where we have been more interested in recruiting members and building an earthly organization, whereas the Great Commission told us to go and make disciples of all the nations. Help us to understand the difference. And then, O God, give us grace and strength to do that which you have commissioned your church to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hear God's Word as it is recorded in the 6th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, beginning with verse 12. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray, and he spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. They were Simon, whom he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. He went down with these people and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by evil spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him, because power was coming from him and healing them all. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love, at the impulse of Thy love.
Friends in Christ, a month ago, the state of Iowa conducted a political caucus which would give some indication who the Democrats would favor as their presidential nominee come next November. While the television ads became tiresome, there was much that could be learned from these caucuses. One question that was often debated was, who has the best organization of all the candidates? Was Kerry's organization stronger than Dean's? How did Edwards' organization help him in the closing days of the campaign? From this, you got the idea that supposedly the best organization might very well carry that individual to the White House. And then you begin to think, well, is anything accomplished today or in any other day, if there is not some kind of organization behind it? Well, of all things, as you begin to read the Bible, you see that Jesus must have believed very much so in a good organization. For while it was a very simple one, he nevertheless had an organization that would build the kingdom of God if it were followed. On the other hand, if we just tried to go helter-skelter, not very much was really going to happen. Now, I have said this probably in a different way, but I think eventually it all comes out the same. Some of the leaders in this organization would have to confront the Roman Empire, that is, the organization back in Jesus' day. They would have to deal with the emperor himself. They would have to be so committed to the Lord Jesus Christ that they were willing to pay the supreme sacrifice of giving their own lives in order that the name of Jesus Christ might be heard in their world. Simple, but a dynamic organization. Let's take a look at it. Jesus didn't have to preach many sermons or perform very many miracles before he had caught the attention of people, and they flocked to him by the thousands. You recall that Bible story, how Jesus was preaching one day to 5,000 people, and at the end of the day, he fed them from 5 loaves and 2 fish. Where did they all come from? They came from all around. Why did they come? Because they were anxious to hear what he had to say, and they were anxious also to be the recipient of some of the benefits in his miraculous work. Just imagine, for example, if you had a sick child. The child was going to die, and you heard that Jesus was in the next town. Wouldn't you rush there with your child to see if he could be healed? Of course you would. So they were there by the hundreds and the thousands with the sick and those who were nigh unto death. But then there was also that preaching. They had never heard a person preach like this before. He was dynamic, and he spoke to the very inner parts of their heart. Imagine if you were there with some real distress in your life, and you didn't know where to go for comfort and strength. Then you heard him say, "Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Don't you think they would keep flocking to him? Well, they certainly did. And then he would preach to those who were burdened with their sins. Perhaps a person like Zacchaeus, who had really stolen from his fellow men, didn't give any indication that he was so sorry for it, but inside he knew that it was not quite right. Or there might have been that adulterous woman who had had 5 husbands and the person she was living with was now not her husband. What a guilt there must have been there when she looked at her life and thought what a mess she had made of it. And then to hear him say, "If you will confess your sins and place your faith in me, they will all be forgiven." Or imagine a person for whom death drew nigh, and they could hear him say, You come and trust me, and when you die, I will promise that there will be a heavenly home for you." This obviously brought many, many people to him. Now, not all of these people, even though they had received many great blessings, became the real disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. They were what you might call the followers. In other words, there were, seems to me, 3 kinds of people around Jesus as you study this organization. They were the followers, and there were those who were the disciples, and then there were those 12 plus a couple of more who were the apostles. That was his very simple organization of bringing the message of salvation to this world. Now, of those who were followers, there were those who said, "Well, I want to hear what he has to say. I'm delighted with it. I certainly want to be the recipient of his blessings, but I do not want to become so involved with him that I have to give of myself." In other words, they all wanted to be on the receiving end, but they did not want to be of the giving end. So gradually they fell by the wayside one by one, and the disciples numbered far less than those who had followed him for a while. I wonder if that isn't a picture of today too, friend. You know, Jesus can be very, very attractive. What he has to say can be very comforting, and we like to read about all of this. We like to know what he can do to enrich our lives. And so we join the church. The church is full of people who are anxious to be on the receiving end of what Christ can give to them. But then when that message begins to get just a little bit tighter as far as giving, they are not to be found, at least many of them are not. When, for example, they hear Jesus say, or when the minister on a given Sunday preaches on a text, "Take up your cross and follow me," that is not a very popular sermon theme. You know, after all, it means that I might have to give up something that is very near and dear to my heart. When I'm called upon to give up my time and my talent and my money, I don't delight in that as much as I do when I hear the message that he will give me peace of mind. When, for example, I am told it is your God-given responsibility and joy and something you'll want to do to go out and tell the story to one of your friends or to some relatives that Jesus Christ is the answer to his life, well, that could be rather embarrassing, and no, I guess I'm not too involved in that evangelism part in the church either. This is a situation. So what we have done in many cases is build huge organizations known as the churches, parts of every denomination, where they are membership churches. I never like to hear it, but there were occasions where once in a while I'd hear a person say, "Well, that's a Sunday morning country club church." They build an elaborate building. They have all kinds of programs. They can entertain you from morning until night. They can care for your kids and do all kinds of nice things. But still, when you got down into the innermost part of that church, it was primarily, not completely, but primarily a membership church. And if they were in a right area where there were masses of people who were to be found, and it was a popular thing in some of those days to join the church, they could soon have memberships that numbered into the thousands. Now, that all seemed very glorious, but today we begin to understand that a membership-based church will not long endure, for it has departed from Jesus' organizational plan for his church. His church was to be made up not of simply members of an organization. His church was to be made up of disciples, those who were willing to give of themselves for the cause of Jesus. I believe that Michael Foss, in his book called Power Surge, has put his finger right on the problem. Pastor Foss, in this book, quotes a sociologist by the name of Bill Eason. This man is a student of Protestant Church internationally. He says in this book, most mainline and established churches are dying because they only try to take care of their members. Others have suggested that one-third of the more than 325,000 Protestant churches in the United States will close their doors within the next decade, and this is a conservative estimate. Foss's plea in his book is that we take a move in our congregation from a membership church to a discipleship church, that we be concerned of not just bringing a lot of people into an organization to enjoy one another, but that rather than that, we bring people in who are disciples, who have met the Lord Jesus Christ, who knows what he can do in their lives, who can turn that whole life around, who can enliven a family, who can cause these people to be dynamic servants of Christ in the community in bringing the message of Jesus Christ to that world. These are the disciples. These are not just the admirers. These are not just the people who want to say, yes, I belong to a church, but these are the people where Christ has grabbed their hearts and they are anxious to follow him. And so you notice in our text today that Jesus' eye was on all people. He loved them all. He was anxious to get out to the admirers and go deeper in their lives. And so he was going to build a church with disciples who would go to the admirers. So on this particular day, he gathered them together, and they had a session. Prior to that, our Lord Jesus had spent the night in prayer. In the morning, after all was well, he gathered them around him, and he said, today I am going to choose 12 people. And I will give them the name apostles. Let me read that to you once again. After the night's rest, Jesus gathered them by him, called his disciples to him, and then he said, here are the chosen 12. Simon, whom he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James and John, there were two more brothers, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. These were the 12 apostles. Judas, of course, left him, and they replaced him with one other, so the number remained 12. And then we learn later on in the book of Acts that they added to that Paul and Silas. Otherwise, there are no more apostles. The apostles were only for those early days in the church. They were not well-educated people. Now, that does not mean that education is bad, but Jesus did not demand that to be a requirement. They were not the socially elite. Now, does that mean that you should not have disciples who are among the socially elite? Of course you should. How otherwise are you going to get into that group of people? But it is not a qualification that you must have. They were not wealthy people. That might have helped too. And thank God for all the wealthy people who are true disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ today. But it does not mean that unless you have a lot of money, you can't be a real leading disciple of our blessed Lord. Not at all. They were ordinary people. Now the apostles have come and they have gone. And they did their work and they gave their lives and they confronted emperors. And they brought the message of Jesus Christ into this world and changed that world. Now the way that Jesus is working in his organization is he has disciples. Those who have come into a personal relationship with him. Those who have been the recipients of his grace. Those who understand what it is to know at the end of the day, my sins are forgiven. Those who know that he is always there to direct me. Those who know that he will give me strength for every difficulty that faces my life. They're his. When those people unite in a congregation, the walls of that church, if there are still people around there, are not going to collapse. For that is the church of Jesus Christ. That's his organizational plan. I will build my church around not just members, but I will build my church around disciples. Today we have to ask ourselves the question, is that the way we have been building? And I have to confess that that has not always been the case in my situation. I came through those days when people were anxious to join the church. It was not hard to bring in on a given Sunday because there were a lot of people around, 50, 75, 100 people on a Sunday. Well, this was wonderful, for it exposed them to the gospel of Jesus Christ and so forth. But within that group of admirers, there perhaps were only a very few disciples. Now, if that's as far as it went, if the admirer never went beyond being an admirer, you can see that let things change in the congregation, and they can long be gone to another church or wherever else it may be, or never be a part of the church at all. There's something about these disciples. Take a look at Jesus' apostles, same as disciples today. They were a diverse group. You wonder how they could ever live together. Matthew, for example, was a tax collector, and a tax collector was considered a traitor to the Jewish people, but having to live with him was Simon the Zealot, who was a fanatical nationalist and had sworn that he would be involved in the assassination of anybody who was a traitor. I tell you, friend, they joined together in Jesus' organization, and they really became great followers of the Lord. It was an organization that changed the world. The same organization is at work today. Those who are his disciples and who are called to work in various ways in order to get this message of Jesus Christ out. If that is what your church is, you can be well assured this, it is not going to close its doors. But it will be a vital force in our society in bringing Christ to the nation. Amen.
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow.
Lord Jesus, give us an attentive ear to how your church is to function in this world. Help us to realize that we are more than just an organization, but that we are your body, and that each and every one who carries the name of Jesus Christ is qualified to be one of those disciples, one whom you call, one whom you are anxious to use, and one who in this age will be willing to give the all in order that your name may be honored. Raise up the faithful, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders. May our hearts continue to be touched by the grace of God that is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. Estate gifts, large and small, have become a significant part of our income. Currently, half of what we spend annually is drawn from past estate gifts. Have you considered final gifts to your favorite ministries as part of your estate planning? We praise God for His provision and thank our faithful listeners for your gifts and prayers necessary to make this ministry a reality. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free number is 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders invite you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Our website is there to serve you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's christiancrusaders, all one word, .org. Hundreds of Pastor Larson's sermons are available to be read or printed. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Christian Crusaders is now in its 68th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcast.